Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am so excited. You have no idea for today's special guest. I am going to blow you out of the water with this one. Are you ready, my new friend, Brian Head Welch? You ready to do this?
Yes, I am honored to be here with you.
Come on, somebody. So, Roar Nation, check this out. I'm going to read off some things that I found out about Brian that he might not even know. So you ready for this, Brian?
My life is a blur in the past.
It is. So I had to look you up on the internet for an intro. So I'm going to tell you some things and you can correct me. All right.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So as of 2012, you guys have sold over 35 million copies. The band, you've released 41 singles, 28, which have charted. You've earned 2 Grammy Awards out of 8 nominations. And I thought this one was pretty cool. Let's see. Hold on. I'm trying to read in small stuff right now. Billboard, 8 out of 8 have peaked in the top 5. 7 official releases are certified platinum. 2 are certified double platinum, and 1 is certified triple platinum. Dude, that's legit.
That's false.
That's false?
Well, there's one that's like 5 million.
You didn't get me. Oh, it says one is certified 5 times platinum.
Yes, that one. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so, no, but all that was good, but I know that we had one that was 5 times.
5 times platinum. That's legit. So which one was it, dude? Tell me about it.
Well, Follow the Leader, it was weird because I was in a good frame of mind.
Yeah.
But the band was also going hard partying. But I was kind of chilling because my wife was pregnant and stuff. So in my mind, like those years were pretty cool for me before like it got bad.
Before it got bad. Well, you guys sold a lot of albums, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, so many. When I hear that, I just am like, wow. You know.
But what's crazy? That was 2012. So, dude, you got 7 more years of sales since then.
Wow. I mean, people usually stream now, but still,
that's legit. Okay, so that was your intro. It's the first time I've read somebody's intro off to them, which was fun. Just in case you didn't know that, I just thought I'd keep you up to date.
I didn't know some of that. You know, I knew I knew some and didn't know some. So it's just really humbling to hear it. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. Okay. So, Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit of who you are and what you're doing right now for people who have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
Yes, I am. I play in a rock band called Korn. We play all over the world. We play pretty big places. We play a lot of rock festivals with thousands and thousands of people. We're going on a tour this summer in arenas and amphitheaters with a band called Alice in Chains. And a lot of people like to go out in the summer and drink some beer and watch music, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're going to come out. There's me and my band members, we do not party. And well, a couple of them drink, but just, you know, they don't take it too far. And then the rest of us are just sober. And the Lord, he's opened up this door for me. I grew up with the guys in my band. And so that's awesome. I left a few years back for like almost a decade, and then the Lord opened the door to go back. And so, yeah, I'm there touring with them, making music, and that's my life right now.
I love that. Dude, Alice in Chains, that's crazy. That was before our time, dude. They've been around a long time.
Long time, yeah. And so there's a band that's doing, you know, they started out as Christian rock, a band called Under Oath. And they went through a lot of stuff with the religious community and everything and that whole. So they're not really claiming that title anymore, but they're doing well. They're opening. They're going before Alice, and then Korn's going after Alice. So it's a good package. You know, it's like different you know, ages, different, what do you call that? Generations.
Generations, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I dig that. It's going to be a blast. Okay. So, Brian, along your journey, just even the last couple of years, have you, is there like a scripture or inspirational quote that you've just kind of stood on or that just kind of rings true for you as you're touring and doing stuff?
Man, there's a, you know, one scripture I really love is Daniel 2:22. It says that he reveals deep and hidden mysteries. Mm. He knows what lies in darkness and light dwells with them. And every, I start seeing 2:22 everywhere, you know? And I feel like when I see that, the Lord's like calling me into intimacy because he wants to reveal his mysteries to me.
Yeah.
So that's one really, because to me, like everything is about intimacy with God. That's what Jesus died to give, you know, to cleanse us, to humanity, to come to him, to have a relationship.
Yeah.
So that when I see 2:22, I just feel like that's an invitation for intimacy, and I'll see it everywhere. It'll be on like trucks. It'll be on. I'll look at the clock right at that time, and then I'll have 222 likes on it right after I look at the clock. That kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun how he does that. But there's a lot though. I could go on and on. You know, I got some scriptures on me, like. Nice. Going through hard times, Philippians 4:13, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Then I got the Galatians 2:20 that I've been crucified through Christ and I no longer live. You know, a lot of these scriptures speak to me all the time, you know. Yeah. And one that was really important was when I got saved and gave my life to Jesus was Matthew 11:28. And I didn't go to the church. I just kind of got invited and then ended up checking it out, and different people would come up to me, give me that scripture or give me a card to encourage me, and the scriptures in the card. And it was, I go to church and it's up on the board, and I thought they were all in cahoots and they were, hey, let's give Brian this scripture.
They all talked about it before they met you.
So I didn't know it was, but it messes with your head, you know?
Yeah, it does. That's funny.
Yeah. And so very cool. But yeah, a lot of scriptures, obviously, like, there's a lot of, my friends call them hits. There's a lot of hits in that book. Like a song's a hit, you know?
Yeah, that's good. So Brian, take me back. I want to hear about your journey. Give me some pre-Jesus stuff just because, not to glorify it, but just a sense of kind of like where your headspace was and just kind of how dark things were, and then dive right into kind of just maybe part of the journey of where the Holy Spirit just started tugging on your heart and bringing you in. Because I think, and this is what's cool, I don't know your testimony. All I know is I followed you in high school because you and I are close to the same age. So it's been a long time, man. And, but I just remember seeing you get baptized in the Jordan River. Correct me if I'm wrong. I remember seeing it on like TBN, or you were up with like Pat Robertson and something. And I mean, I just remember the joy of the Lord coming over me so strong, because I just thought, wow, what a testimony, because of the industry that you're in, and for you to come that and just be a light and be solid. I was like, thank you, Jesus, man. Yeah. I want to hear it for the first time.
It was weird because we all grew up together and we all know each other's families and everything. But then once we moved out of the house, it was just nonstop partying. You know, it was, we just wanted to party. We wanted to drink. We wanted to, you know, wasn't our plan to do a bunch of drugs, but that kind of came in, you know. And once we got the record deal, it was just like a free for all. We can get anything we wanted. There was always drugs everywhere, and everyone wants to do drugs with the band or just party, you know. And
when you say the founding members, you guys were all, you grew up and played together.
Yeah, all of us.
Okay.
Went to school together, all that, you know? And like massive history, you know, like it's deep rooted as friends, like cross over to family, you know, because we just know each other so well. And so when we got signed, it was just really dark, and it got darker and darker because we had anything at our disposal. Once we got so big that MTV was playing us every day, and we're on radio and we're bringing in millions of dollars, and it was just like, anything you want, you know. And then we were recording in LA a lot, and you know, the porn industry was was connected with us because our singer knew all them, you know, and they would be around us all the time. And just, it was just, you could feel that we were up to no good, but we were liked it and we were drawn to the darkness, you know?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, we're having, like, everybody started having kids and got married actually early on, but there was just these two sides of us, you know?
Yeah.
So it got really dark. Methamphetamines was my addiction, but there was all kinds of stuff. Actually, there was Xanax, Vicodin, all that. I mean, alcohol nonstop. But we tried to juggle it, like to go home and be decent fathers, you know.
Yeah.
But drink every day at least doing something every day. Right. Kind of chill on the drugs and everything. It got really hard, and then it became like the party. The fun kind of grew wings and flew out, you know, and we were just like sick a lot and just zombies. That's what happens. It's like those drugs, they lure you in and they can be fun at first, but then you just become a slave to it and you're a zombie.
Yeah. You got to pay the price, man. There's a toll to be paid.
Yep. And so I paid that toll. I paid that toll with my sanity, with my emotions, with my mind, with my relationships, with everything. I got, you know, my relationships failed. I started going like getting really depressed, insanity a little bit, you know, thinking things are, people are spying on me. I'm looking out my blinds, all this stuff, you know.
Yes.
That was a heavy price to pay, right? And then, you start getting suicidal. I started getting suicidal because I'm like, I just don't want to live. I don't like this life, you know. But meanwhile, I'm not thinking, hey, why don't you get sober and check life out, you know? Yeah. But I actually did into that when the planes hit the towers in 2001 in New York, I got sober for a few months and I just had this cloud over me, this dark cloud. And I didn't like it, you know? And so I wanted to be on some substance because I didn't like that depressing feeling and I wanted to be someone else. So it was just, I'm talking like 2 decades of addiction, alcohol, drugs, most of the time, but not the whole time.
Brian, I want to hit on one thing. I like that you talk about, I love that you're being so honest about this because a lot of times people would think, man, you had sex, you had drugs, money. I mean, there was nothing you really honestly couldn't have, but yet you were just completely empty. And I think that's the lure that the enemy gives us is we think if we can have just that one thing, whatever that one thing could be, it's going to make us happy. And obviously, I mean, you could have had anything you wanted at that point and it wasn't fulfilling, right?
Yeah. And me and all my friends and many other friends that were in other bands, a lot of addiction, miserable and touring away from family and everything. And it's like, yeah, you got money, but it's like, you don't know who you are because first of all, you're an addict. And then second of all, you're always in a different place. And so if you're not anchored, like I'm anchored in Christ's love now and my relationships and is so solid. And so I can tour around the world and be okay now. Right. But back then when you're a lost sheep, you know, you're just drinking and trying to like find a payphone. Back in the day to call home.
Some of these people are going to be listening to kids that don't even know what a payphone is.
My gosh. It's like if I had FaceTime back in, it would have helped so much.
Yeah.
You know, see your kids and everything. It was just like brutal. It was just torture for your emotions, you know? Because first of all, your wife's just missing you all the time and it's always a sad phone call. Second of all, you can't see your kids. They can't email you. Back then, they couldn't even email me a picture of my daughter or a video of my daughter walking or something, you know?
Yeah.
It was brutal, man. And the money was one problem that wasn't there.
Right. And everything, there was still problems.
Yeah, many problems, you know? Just like Biggie Smalls, the rapper, said, more money, more problems.
That didn't work out real well for that guy.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the dark side, man. So take me to kind of like the moment or the drawing, I don't, whatever it is, like where you have this eye-opening experience where Holy Spirit Jesus just shows up for you.
I just wanted to be happy. I didn't want to be depressed, and I didn't want to think about being dead, you know? Thank God I didn't have this, that drive in me to actually take steps to do something, but I was just like, I was doing more drugs and mixing uppers and downers every day, and I heard so many stories about people dying from too many drugs, you know? And I just, that's the only thing I was doing. I was like, I hope I don't wake up, and I would do overload of drugs, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't like take a step to go buy a gun or think about, you know, a rope or anything like that. And so it was just, I was very tired of being just so unfulfilled and happy and unhappy and just lost, man. And it was scary because everybody thought I had everything, you know, and I didn't have anything except, you know, the fame and the money. But, you know, meanwhile, when I close my eyes, when I'm alone, I'm just like dark cloud, dark cloud, dark cloud. And so my friends that were doing business, I was like a drug addict entrepreneur because I was a functioning drug addict. I would do business deals like high on drugs and really like, I just wanted my money to grow. And so I met these people in Bakersfield, California, these guys and their families, and they invited me to go to church, and we would do business deals together. They were just normal. They weren't like the dude that I went to church with. He built monster trucks and cool, just amazing cars. And he would do car shows and win all of them. He was just so cool, but he's also a Christian. Yeah. And I was like, man, I didn't think Christians could be cool. You know?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Right. Back then, you know, it's different now. So they invited me to go to church with them, and I was like, man, I'll go check it out. And I was like, these guys have something that their families are happy. They're just, I have something that I'm drawn to, you know? And obviously that was Christ. And one of them gave me a Christian book. I think it was Purpose Driven Life
by Rick Warren. Yeah. That's a fantastic book.
Yeah. And I remember getting it, and I was like, oh, this is a religious book. Oh man. They've never like gotten weird with me. Now they're going to get weird.
Yeah.
And so I just put it on the shelf, didn't read it. And then they invited me to go to church, and I was like, you know what? I know that like the religion is weird and everything, but these people seem kind of normal. I'm just going to go check it out. I'll go with them to check it out. And I went there. And when I walked in, the song Majesty was playing. Hmm. And I was up on meth all night. And I'm a music guy, and I feel through melody, and just the lyrics and the melody of that song. I was just like, I thought I just liked this song, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, once I figured what it was about, just Christ, the majesty, and he's the king of all kings and everything. And they started preaching, and the guy was just normal. He didn't preach like one of those guys on TV back then. He was just like real, you know? And he talked about being an alcoholic, and he talked about Jesus setting him free, and God is real. And I was blown out. I'm like, God's real? How do they know that? You know, how can you sit up there and say God is real when nothing's standing next to you, you know, or you can't point to it? So I started learning that he comes and lives inside of you. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people are crazy, man. How does God come inside of you? But I was like, this guy has everything together in his life, and he brought me here. Man, if this is like real somehow, I need to check it out. But it sounded completely crazy to me.
Yeah.
And so I just raised my hand when they said, if you want Jesus to come in your life and change your life, I raised my hand. And then I was like, I got to get out of this church. I'm going to go talk to Jesus myself. And he said, he's so real. And I went home and I just started praying, talking. That's all. I was like, Lord, I am a drug addict. You need to if you're real like that guy says, then take this stuff from me, because I'm a horrible father, I'm a drug addict, and I need a new life. I'm going to die from this stuff if I don't stop. I poured it out there.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, one thing after another started coming into my life. It's like he just sent people to me. And people with that scripture, Matthew 11, 28. And everywhere I'd go, there'd be a sign. And after I prayed that, I remember getting a call from my friend who I tried meth with the first time. And he became a Christian through that church. And he's like, dude, I heard you're at the church. God is real. And I'm like, what? This is freaking crazy. And so I started getting excited about it. And you know how some people are like, go slow?
Yeah.
I was like, are you joking? God is, these are like, this is a real thing. I thought it was all about like goody goody Christians don't drink, cuss, or smoke.
Yeah.
And so, man, when I got a hold of it, then I started having encounters. I went home and I was just like, I started feeling God's love. I started feeling like maybe if there was angelic activity around me, and I would go back to the church and tell them, and they were like, you're weird. The church people, I'm like, no. I go, I feel this love and glory, like this,
yeah,
this feeling. It's like turning inside of me. And they're like, oh my gosh. The church people were saying I did too many drugs. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
They're like starting to think that there's angels around them and stuff. And I'm telling you, he opened the supernatural to me. I didn't see, but they were there. And
you could feel it.
I felt the embrace of Christ. And I was just like imagining him right there sitting next to me. And I think I was seeing in the spirit, but it just not clear, you know?
Yeah.
It was magical. It was the best thing ever, man.
So you got to, okay, so let's fast forward. You're having this radical experience, which I love, man. I'm like you, dude. I got saved when I was 20, got freed from drugs and meth and steroids and all kinds of crap. And yeah. And literally just like when God set me free, like I was all in. I just remember being, I just told the Lord, I said, if you're real, I'm all in. Like I'm not looking back, but you got to do something. Like I need something tangible. I need to experience you, feel you. And I just jumped with 2 feet and said, let's do this, man.
That's what I did.
Yeah. I love your story. That's same, man. I get it. But okay. So you're there, but you had a much bigger issue than I did. That is you're in a rock band, drugs, porn industry. Like there's a lot surrounding you, which by the grace of God, obviously most people don't have to deal with it. How did, like, take me through that process, man, because that is a lot of stuff. It's like be thrown in the middle of the enemy's camp.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy because I was so changed that for like a few weeks, I would go through my email and just talk about God with people and send out things to Korn's management and the band members and everything. And meanwhile, I would look at my email and I'd have all these sick, disgusting, like porno sites sending me emails like, hey, get this video, this new video, whatever. And I wouldn't even pay attention to them. It was like, and I was like, a few weeks later, I was like, I should probably change my email. And I was just that changed where I wasn't tempted anymore of that stuff and everything.
So take me. Okay. So I like that you said, so you're emailing, your band members, Korn management. So they either thought you'd been up on 2 weeks straight of meth and you're completely losing your mind.
Thinking I'm seeing Jesus.
Yes. Or not. So talk about some of that. Cause I'm curious. Cause that had to be a really weird for, I mean, you guys grew up together. You guys are best friends. I mean, slash family. What was that like?
Everybody, it was like, because of the things I was saying and all that, then these guys just disappeared. It was like, I'm following God now. And they're like, oh my gosh, what's happening to him? And so everybody just disappeared out of my life, which was exactly what needed to happen.
Right.
So I needed them gone because they were a mess like I was.
Yeah.
So I needed them out of my life. And I needed a new start. And it was the one thing that was hard was we were doing a record deal because we had been on one label for 10 years and just killed it, sold tons of records. Yeah. So another label was like, wow, you guys really sell records. So they gave us a $25 million advance.
Oh my gosh.
Million. And so I was like, oh, I won't see none of that if I leave now. Maybe I should leave next year.
Yeah.
But what it was advance. It was the first of this thing called 360 deal where they get your merchandise, music, and everything. They put it all together. And so basically they were getting an advance and they had to go tour for years and not get paid off that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just it's a loan. A lot of people don't realize that in the music industry, you get paid that money. It's just a loan. You got to go perform for it.
Yep. That one was. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to chase money. My daughter needs me home. I need to be a dad. I'm sober. I'm clean. I have my head on straight. And I want to get to know this God who I found out was real. So I left. I walked away, and I didn't see any of that money. I had a few million dollars piled up at that time. And so that was, you know, it was like, I'm not going to just do the same thing to get the same results. Isn't that the definition of insanity? So I'm going to try something drastic. I'm going to quit the band, be a dad, and just do whatever the Lord calls me to do. And so I started doing that, started doing music on my own, speaking a little bit, and did some business deals. And I got into some shady business deals with some people, and I lost all my money within 2.5-3 years.
Wow.
Less than 3 years, all the money was gone.
Wow.
They were like, you need to invest in your music, in your studio. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So they would just pay for all the studio with my money and buy gear with my money. And I'm like, yeah, I'm investing in myself. Meanwhile, lost everything. The studio failed. All the businesses failed. The guy was kind of like pretty shady. But on the other side of him, he would go do mission trips, right? But he was like just shady with business. And I don't know what the deal was. I think he was really like, he had mental issues, you know?
Yeah. It's core values, man. I see it all the time in business. It drives me nuts, dude. I've met some really good people, but you know, I've come to realize that stuff like that is I hate to say this, man, but the truth be told, they're not good people. I mean, you can know Jesus, know of him, but if you have the Holy Spirit in you and you're doing business, like you get convicted and the Holy Spirit just tells you like, no, that's just not right. Or you need to do something on the up and up. I see it in church elders. I've seen it in other businessmen in the industry I'm in. And man, it just drives me crazy. Cause I just think you can't, this one guy, I'll just give you an example. One time we're painting this guy's house and we go to church with him and he cuts me short a couple thousand dollars on this job. And I just went to him. I was just like, man, what's the deal? Like this ain't right. We had an agreement and you need to pay up. And man, he looked me square in the face. And his comment to me was, he said, business is business and church is church. And man, at the moment, as soon as he said that, I just realized, I said, this guy doesn't get it. Like who we are is an overflow in every area of our life, whether it's business, church, family, friendships, relationships, man, it's all the same. It's all kingdom. And, yeah. So when you say that, man, it breaks my heart because a lot of people get hurt that way and they don't realize that, man, they're lost because there is no separation, man. Jesus created everything. He's in all of it.
Yep. And you know what? The more you give, it's like we don't believe the Bible. It's like, you know, if you give, then you're trusted with more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like people just want to hold on to everything they got and do shady business deals. But Jesus is like, it's the upside down kingdom. It's the opposite. You give and it will be given to you.
Yeah.
And so that's how I try to, you know, I'm not perfect, obviously, but I try to live my life with that. And if there's some issue, I'm just like, okay, here. No, I just want to be right. Are we okay? Are we okay? Yeah. Here, take that. You take this. Then I'll go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, you know, because of the work you've done in me, you know, I chose to do it that way. And I know you'll bless me. Thank you for blessing me back. You know, I'll get it from somewhere else from my Father's hand, right?
Yeah.
Don't got to get it from that business deal right then. But yeah, it's hard though sometimes because there's, you know, you want people to be ethical and everything, but you know, we're dealing with humanity.
Yeah, no kidding.
Humans are dirt bags sometimes.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so tell me a little bit. You spend the next how many years doing your thing? And so you grow your relationship with the Lord. You're getting to travel, do some stuff like that. You want to talk about that a little bit, or you want to talk about coming back into the band? Because that's really interesting to me to come back into an industry. It was like an exodus. You got taken out, and then like and then you get brought back in.
Yeah. Well, it was a long process, you know. It was 8 years I was out of the industry. I was doing like a little Christian industry stuff, and they didn't know what to do with me. They were, you know, Christian radio would tell me my songs are too depressing. There's no gospel message. I'm like, have you read the Psalms? You know, this song I'm trying to get out is called Paralyzed, and it's like, I'm paralyzed. I need you now. It's a cry to God. And there's not a good gospel message in it. It sounds depressing. And I'm like, dude, this is real life, you know? And so I didn't fit in there good. But I was fine with it. I would have been cool struggling because, you know, if I learned that, you know, look at all the guys in the Bible. They struggled so much. They got persecuted and lost. And Paul's like, these people are honored and I'm, you know, getting this and that thrown at me. And so I was fine with it. And then next thing you know, Cornstar asked me to come back. And I was like, you know, I'm doing my own thing. Thank you very much. I'm doing my own thing. But
Brian, talk about that a little bit, because you guys were so close growing up. I mean, did you guys stay in touch at all? Why?
No, like, I cut all ties.
You were out. Okay.
Like, it was so bad where one of the guys, he had a parent that died, and he called me trying to talk to me about it, and I wouldn't call him back. And it was not Jesus, you know. But in my mind, I was like, I need to be separate. I know, you know. And it was more religious than anything, but
we all go through that phase, man.
Yeah. I didn't want to be like influenced by them. Cause these guys, that's part of the reason. Cause they could, we get in a room together and be like, hey, come join, you got to get back in the band. I'll be like, no. And they're like, shut up. You're coming back. You know, it's like, those are my brothers. So shut up. Stop playing around. You know, you're not a sinner coming back. You know, they would have just said all that, but they were a mess doing drugs and partying back then. A lot of them anyway, not all of them. And so I didn't want nothing to do with that life. And, but once this last time something clicked in me and I was just like, Lord, is there anything in this, you know? And I went and got some advice and, everybody was just giving me some, like, what better place to be? All the people are like you used to be. Why not be a light there? And then I was like, all right, but I'm doing my side project. Then I called the manager and I'm like, listen, I'm doing this other thing. I got an album coming out. Can I take this band on the road and play everywhere Korn's playing? And they said, sure, anything you want. And so, and like every question I asked, they said, yes, 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 yes. And so with all the counsel and all that happening, I knew it was time.
That's powerful, man. So take me back. How were your friends about that? I mean, you coming back, what was that experience like?
It was flawless, you know, it was just like family reunited, and it wasn't perfect, but you know, we did butt heads with music. That was it. It was never faith. Well, yeah. Singer kind of pops, you know, some stuff about faith. He's all over the place, you know. He has Jesus art in his house, and he's been to church. But then he'll, you know, he has friends that are Satanists. And it's like, it's not the devil, demons, any of that. It's just about do what thou will and not hurt anybody, you know. So he's all over the place. But there's a little bit of butting heads there, but mainly it was just musical differences.
Yeah.
But that we worked out.
That's cool. I'm just curious, because of your faith, has that saved any of them, or have they been able to obviously clean up their lives or experience Jesus through what they've seen? Because obviously you had a radical change, so that really had to speak to them.
Yeah, definitely. They see it in me. They know it. And the bass player also had a radical change too. Okay. He follows Christ and everything. And the other guys, I see God all over their lives. Speaking of giving them signs and da da da, and they just, they're not in the Christian thing because of what people think about Christianity. When you're not in a relationship with Jesus, is like, you don't want that, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I get
politics. It's in all that. So I see Jesus in their life, and just, you know, tugging on them, and a lot of cool things and hard things. Actually, we, you know, we had to bury our singers. Wife, his ex-wife, you know, last year. And, you know, I had the honor to speak at the funeral quite a bit. And so just those deep things, you know, just even that one thing, just being there for him and for his family with all the other guys, that's family, man, right there, you know. And if it was just to go back for that, to be with our brother, you know, then that's huge. But mainly, so everyone believes in God, you know, it's just a little bit different, but you know, what's the biggest impact is the fans, you know, where I go and I'll speak with fans after the concert, you know, grab like 30, 40 people. And and then doing press. So, you know, I could share my faith in press and then my movie, right?
Yeah.
My documentary that I told you about, you know, all the Korn fans are watching that. I went on this thing called Shiprocked, 3,000 people, and 1,000 people showed up in this one of the clubs to watch my movie. And the place was just all in tears, you know, and I got to just share. And so just, you know, God just keeps doing things like that and showing people that you don't have to be some cookie cutter Christian. You can be yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus wants a relationship with you, you know?
You know what I love about your testimony, Brian, is because it's a totally different side of who God is in Christianity. Because like you said, so many people think, man, I got to look a certain way and talk a certain way and I got to do church a certain way, man. And it's just, honestly, it's just a bunch of religious crap, dude. It's just not the truth. And it's like your friends and other band members that they see that and it deters people from church.
Yeah.
And, but you being able, I think what's the beautiness of your story is you've been on both sides. And you can see the fake side of Christianity and the real side of Jesus, who he is, even in the industry you're in, and just how they come together. And your friends and people, like, dude, I can like metal music or it doesn't, the type of music I listen to doesn't matter. God's in all of it.
Yep.
And I mean, he can play, he can play an acoustic guitar and he can play a metal guitar, man. It doesn't matter. He's in all of it.
He is. He's everywhere. He said, that I love the scripture in Jeremiah somewhere, but it says, can anyone hide in a secret place so that I cannot see them? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? So any secret place, nobody could hide from God because he fills his life fills everything and he's everywhere. You're right. And so, yeah, I did learn that a lot. And I think a lot of Christians miss it where they think, you know, Christ in you means Christ in the church and they're, and church is good, you know, I'm not getting down on that, but the real thing is Christ in you, Christ in us. And it's like, if you miss the contemplative and just that really mystical side of you and him and him and you living there, then you're just missing, like, I think most of Christianity. You know, it's not about a club. It's not about, you know, all these people that are, that, you know, we're over here, you know, doing our thing and you're not invited. It's about, you know, everyone's equal. And, but that personal relationship, I'm telling you, a lot of people miss out on that. That's the key thing.
Yes.
It's like, he'll make you feel and teach you like you're the only one in the world, you know, and you know, there's like billions of others.
Yeah.
Feel like it's just you and him. Cause it is in that relationship, you know?
You know what I love telling people? I'm God's favorite. And so are you.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's just a weird paradigm. Like, you can't wrap your mind around the fact, like, I'm God's favorite, but yet so is Brian and everyone listening to this podcast, man. It just doesn't change.
It's so crazy. Right before I called you, I looked over there right outside my car, and there's this group of people, and they're, like, in a band recording in the other studio. And I just said, Lord, I don't know how you keep up with everybody. And I just had this thought, like, they have a family. And they have their own house and they have their own purpose in life and they're doing, and that's only one group of people and there's billions and it just blows your mind, right? I'm like, how do you know me? God, yeah. How do you know me so well when you're so busy? You know, that's what my mind thinks.
Right. That's fun, man. Okay. So Brian, as we start to wrap up the show, tell me one of the things you feel like your biggest strength is.
Definitely my good looks. I mean,
you're killing it, brother. It's got to be the hair. I'm looking at the hair. It's got to be the dreads.
I'm just joking. My strong points is compassion.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at, like, not all the time, trust me, but, like, you know, that scripture always just echoes in my head, consider others better than yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, because I'm so, like, sought after so many people in the rock world and everything, and I always call myself a D-level celebrity, you know, but I'm good at, like, really in my heart, unless I'm having a grumpy day, like, considering others better than myself and just really, like, you know, really feeling that too. And not just, like, trying to act it out, just making people feel special and going that extra mile and, you know, sending people gifts and corn, like corn fan stuff. And so I feel like that's my compassion. And a lot of people say, you know, with all the success I've had and everything, that I carry humility well, and that makes me feel good. And I'm definitely the most humble guy on this conversation and this call, though. I can tell that for sure.
But, hey, that being said, I want my corn gear, dude. I don't have any, so okay, I'm just making sure we get that out there.
Okay, for sure. have your people call my people.
Yeah, yeah. That's my wife, dude. I'll be sure to let her know. That's hilarious. Okay, what do you feel like? Your biggest weaknesses.
Wow, that's a good question. Biggest weakness is distractions, and
squirrel.
No, just wasting hours in a day, like on a phone or something. And I'm just like, what did I do? I'm another guy came up to me. I'm already like talking. And so people come up and they're like, hey, I'm going to go say hi. And I'm like, no, don't. Leave me alone. So, I feel like I'm doing things that I could be like spending time with the Lord. That we only have a certain amount of time on this earth, and I'll get lost on, like, you know, I'm not like addicted to social media, but just searching even good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Good stuff can be the enemy of best. And so time consuming, like looking up music gear or whatever I'm looking up, I'm, you know, checking out the rock we're doing. Meanwhile, like 2 hours pass and the day's gone. And I could have been like spending time with God or preparing some kind of, you know, some revelation that he's given me to share or something. So I'm still working on that, but, that's okay. A weakness.
Okay. That's a good answer. So let's talk a little bit. There's going to be a part two of this interview, just letting our listeners know, that's going to come out in a couple months, talking specifically on your documentary, the movie you did with your daughter. That's kind of, I'm assuming that's probably one of the biggest things going on in your life right now. Why don't you dive a little bit into that for obviously part two for later. But I always ask people, what's the biggest thing God's stirring inside of you right now? And I do want to talk about that because I'm excited for you.
Just the movie and my daughter, like me and her, I was mentioning to you that I'm going to Texas and New Mexico.
New Mexico.
And this weekend. And so that's the biggest thing, is that we're doing big churches, and we've done a lot of media. We were on ABC, CBS, like news and everything. And then we were on, we're going to do Huckabee pretty soon. And we did a bunch of other stuff that's media wise. And me and her together are going around and just talking and telling our story, which I've never done. That's huge to me. She's almost 21, and you know, she loves Jesus. She's figuring out that walk, you know.
Yeah.
She's had a lot of religious people experiences growing up, and that they're etched in her memory. So she's trying to work that out, how she wants to walk this out, you know, because, you know, so many people get grouped in with the bad ones, you know? And so, yeah. So, but I'm really excited about that. It's an honor and just a privilege and a blessing to see my daughter come so far and everything, and walking hand by hand with her, you know, doing this. It's really cool.
When we get a chance, I think maybe in the next conference, we talked about, you'll miss this next one, but maybe we need to do a conference and have you and your daughter come out and do some stuff in Amarillo.
That'd be so cool, man. And that'd
be awesome.
If we do if we talk in the future, when what we're talking about, maybe I can do it with me and her on there, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's just plan on that. We'll have both you guys come on when we do it in a couple months, man. It'd be a blast. I would love that. Okay, so as we wrap up the show, Brian, last question I always ask, and I skip some for the sake of time, but the one is, if you could go back to the younger you, what age would you pick, and what advice would you give yourself?
I would go back to me at 10 years old, because that's when I started playing the guitar, fell in love with it, and if I was to tell the future to the younger me and be like, look, you're going to make it. I am. I'm. Yep. So you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. You're gonna so make it in music, and you're gonna do things that you never thought you could. You know, and people don't get what you're gonna get normally. And first of all, I would have called. Better not say that. I would have said you're a. Who are you? You're a liar. You know, but you know what I was gonna say. But I would say, look. And there's also going to come with that a bunch of things that can ruin your life. And you have to stay away from those or your life will be ruined. You know, I would have told my younger self that, but yeah, definitely. And I would have told myself at 10 years old, also, someone's going to tell you about Jesus and you're going to ask him in your heart. And at 12 years old, and you need to carry him close with you the whole time. That's the biggest, you know, because I did ask Christ in my heart at 12, but I never thought it was real. And I didn't talk to him ever until I was a drug addict at 34, all those years later.
Hey, I thought this was cool, Brian. I didn't say this at the beginning of the show, but I don't know. I doubt you even care, but I thought this was really neat that you are ranked in the top 25 best guitarists medal of all time.
That was when we were really big, and it was just, we came up with such a different sound. Now that music is progressed and everything, now it's, everyone's focusing on the players, the shredders, right?
Right.
I'm not a shredder, but that was an honor to be called that during those times, you know. We wouldn't be on that list now.
Well, that's still pretty awesome, man. There's not a lot of people that can say that. Oh, my friend who edits all my shows, he did tell me he was bummed out that you couldn't make it to Amarillo for the conference. He's a worship pastor. His name's Paul. It's a shout out to Paul for fun. But he said he was really bummed out because he felt like he could teach you a thing or two on the guitar, is what he told me.
Probably could.
I had to throw Paul under the bus for that one, dude. I was dying laughing. And obviously he meant it as a joke, but he told me that yesterday when I told him you and I were going to interview.
I'm serious. He could teach me something because I just tried. We're doing a cover song, and I tried to do the solo for it right now, and it's a harmony. And I'm telling you, like, I am just not a lead player, and they got to put me way low in the mix because I'm just not a lead player. I'm a writer. I'm a creative. You know, I'm a riff writer, chorus writer. I'm a hook writer.
Yeah.
But other than that, nope, not technical.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to set this up in a year. We're going to have you come to Amarillo, have your daughter come give a testimony, and we're going to do a worship set, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to bring Paul, and we're going to do worship, and you guys can teach each other guitar, and I'm just going to sit there and watch and worship. How's that sound?
Done deal.
Yeah, baby. Okay, so you get the mic, dude. Last piece of parting advice that you're going to leave the audience for Are You Real?
Okay, and I'm going to be speaking to myself when I say that. I say that, but I'm telling you, like, we have to take the time, you know, at least an hour a day, and spend with the Lord in worship and in talking to Him, just being with Him with no distractions, because your life will flourish if we do that. You know, if you start to do that and not neglect it, and I'm talking to myself again, I'm saying it to myself because I've neglected it and I've started to step into that again recently, you know, and, you know, life gets busy. You got to go to work, you got family and everything, but it's so, like, things happen so much, and He wants to take us into a deeper relationship because the veil between eternity and earth, you know, it's so thin. And if you look at the Bible, they're just having angelic visitations or having visions or having all this stuff. And that stuff creates more intimacy. And so I would just say, man, encourage all of us. We all need to step into that, to spend more time with Him and really, like, focus on that, because we make time, you know, some of us go to the gym. Some of us
come on to the gym. Right here, baby.
Yeah. And that's discipline to do that. You know, we need to be not in a work mentality. We got to be just actually take the steps to spend the time with the Lord and praying in the Spirit, you know, worshiping or just sitting in silence, you know, and just meditating on Him and contemplating, man. It's just, like, so rich. So that's my thing. I always talk about intimacy with the Lord, you know.
It's good. Hey, Brian, I got a word for you when you were talking. Can I share it with you?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's so much a word, but man, when you were talking, I just felt like the Lord was just really saying, you have yet to even tap into the creativeness and the richness of his love. And that he is going to give you just even a deeper revelation of who he is, not just in your life, but other people's lives. And I just see people literally being transformed like flowers, that the Lord is going to give you prophetic words and give you words when you meet people at your concerts and churches and places that you go. And I also just see literally turning almost not the church, but the Christian world almost upside down in the sense of the revelation that you're going to bring of his love for people.
Dang. That's so good. Awesome. I received that. Amen. Get him, Lord.
Come on, baby. All right. Yeah. All right, dude. That's it. We are done. I'm going to wrap up the show. You good?
I am good. Thank you very much. And let's keep in touch and tell your lovely wife thank you for this and for the link and everything. And I look forward to seeing you guys in person. Let me know about this weekend or whatever. No pressure at all. And we'll talk soon.
Hey, hold on real quick. I want you to meet my wife. You cool with that? Just a second?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. But I got to wrap up the show, dude.
Wrapped up.
Roar Nation, thank you guys for tuning in. Brian is a blessing. I cannot wait for you guys to check out his video documentary he's releasing with his daughter. If you got questions, I'm just encouraging you right now, wherever you're at in your walk, whether you're addicted to something or you love Jesus, man, I'm just saying lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, because he wants to set you free and he wants to show you the power of his love. So Roar Nation, if you need anything, please reach out to us. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.